Well, thank you, Keith and Nicole. I know preacher's kids, somebody says they don't turn out so well. Well, these did. Brother Rex Carringer is fixing to speak to us. We appreciate him, and it says something about a preacher when he raises his kids to serve the Lord, don't it? And of course, Brother Glenn Riggs back there, the granddad, he's got to be proud of him too, amen? And we're good to have Pastor Riggs with us tonight. But Brother Rex Carringer has been a friend to our church and in college, and had the kids here in the college, and he drives a good distance from Dunellen. He's pastor of Riverland Baptist Church, and God's used him to build a great church there, great ministry. And great preacher. We appreciate him many times driving that distance to come speak to us in chapel. And just so good to have you, Brother Rex. You come on and preach to us as God leads you, please.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Carter. Well, amen. What a great joy. Am I on with this? Is this working? And what a honor and a privilege to be here. I didn't realize I would get to hear them sing, and so I am thrilled with that. You'll have to pray for me tonight. My voice is real weak. I lost it on Sunday. By the time I closed out Sunday night, had to have a missionary preach for me Wednesday night. I finally broke down Wednesday afternoon, went to the doctor and to get something for it. So I'm kind of getting it back a little bit by today, and found out, you were talking about doctors yesterday or today, but found out that gargling cold milk and Twix candy bars wasn't helping me a whole lot. And so gave me something else for it. But so we'll just see what comes. But this is a great honor. Of course, what an honor to be a part of the alumni here at Landmark Baptist College. And I walked this aisle in 1997. This queen was hanging on the sides both here, and the auditorium extension was happening during those days. And then we went up to Dunellen in November of 97 and been there ever since. And it's an honor to be here with Dr. Mickey Carter and the college. And of course, Brother Parsons, thank you so much. And Dr. and Mrs. Carter will have no idea what a blessing they have been to my wife and I and our whole family. And just we're so thankful for them. And it's an honor to be here with Dr. Shelton Smith. And of course, we love the sword of the Lord. My father-in-law took me to a sword conference in 1991. I surrendered to preach in 1992, and the sword of the Lord has been influencing my ministry ever since. And so we're very, very, very thankful for that. And of course, good to see so many friends. Good to see the pits. We're getting to we got a special blessing coming next February, March, and so we're excited about that. I'm going to be a grandpa. Amen. I can't wait. And looking forward to that. And so what a joy. Open your Bibles, if you would, this evening to Psalm 56. Psalm 56, I'll have you just stand with me if that's okay. And some of the preachers today were preaching to the young people this morning, and it was a great crowd of young people in the building today, and so thankful for that. A dad was driving along, wasn't sure if his blinkers were working, and he asked his teenage son, he said, and of course, you understand teenagers. Teenagers are, well, no, you don't understand teenagers. Never mind, let's change that. And so he asked his teenage son, he said, son, will you get out of the car and check and see if my blinkers are working? I need to know. I don't want to drive down the highway and get a ticket. And he said, so I'm going to pull over. I'm going to have you get out and go up front and look at it. I'm going to turn the blinker on. And so he did that. Son got out and got out to the front of the car. He said, all right, are you ready? He said, yeah, Dad. He said, now tell me if they're working, all right? And so he flipped the blinker on, and his son said, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And so you can't do anything with teenagers, I tell you. Psalm 56, the Bible says, be merciful unto me, O God. For man would swallow me up, he fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God, I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Father, Lord, I pray that you will bless tonight. It's such an honor to be standing here, to be an honor to be standing in this pulpit right here. And Father, I realize that responsibility, and I pray that, Lord, you will bless the message and encourage us if you can. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we think about Psalm 56 here, and if you would notice with me in verse 1, as the psalmist David prays out, he says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me." I got to thinking about that statement in his prayer, how he talked about the fighting daily. And it dawned on me that really, truthfully, and sometimes we're engaged a little heavier than other times, but we are never out of the battle. We are always in the battle. And we think about this. The battle is constantly raging. And there's so many battles that we're in. For example, our nation is in a spiritual battle right now. And that battle is going to be fought on Tuesday. There's no doubt about that. And we are in a battle. We have personal battles, and we won't look up all the scriptures, but the Bible tells us that a lot of times the personal battles that we are in are self-inflicted because we oppose ourselves. Sometimes we are oppressed, and we think about that. We have ministry battles. We being in the work of the ministry, there's certainly battles. There's constantly pressure to compromise and constantly pressure to cave in, in my office there, I have some pictures of some preachers that have been very influential in my life very special to me. One of those pictures I have Dr. Carter, and was taken on my graduation night in 1997, and sitting there. Many times I've looked at that picture and thought, "Wow, if he can do it, I can do it." And so we have these ministry battles. We have satanic battles. The Bible tells us that Satan is seeking whom he may devour. Paul talked about how the messenger of Satan came to buffet him, and he told in another place how Satan hindered him. And so we have satanic battles. We have fleshly battles, and dealing with the flesh, Jesus said in one place that the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7 the battle that took place between the divine nature and the flesh, and he literally called it a war and raging inside of him. We have the battle with the world, constantly battling with the world. Jesus warned the disciples. He says, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. And we're going to have a battle with the world. Demas, having loved this present world, went back, and he for a while lost that battle with the world. And another place in the Bible describes this world. It is a present evil world that we are in, and we think about that. We battle with the lust that the Bible talks about in 1 John chapter 2. We think about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Turn with me to a very familiar passage in Ephesians chapter 6. Look with me if you would. If you know anything about the armor of God, you're familiar with this passage of Scripture. But turn there, if you would, in your Bibles, and Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at it together. And when you find that, look at verse number 12, if you would. If you don't have it underscored, I would encourage you to do so. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12, the Bible says, and I'm going to begin reading, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We are constantly fighting that what the Bible is describing there. And in our text in Psalm 56, David said, "Fighting daily, they are oppressing me." And he said in verse 2, "Mine enemies would daily swallow me." Now, we need to understand something, and there's two facts that we've got to deal with. Number one, we cannot stop fighting. And number two, we cannot win the battle in our own power. We cannot stop fighting, and we cannot win the battle in our own power. And so in Psalm 56, I believe that there's some principles here that will help us get through whatever battle or battles that we're raging in and struggling with. And I want you to notice this and see what God tells us here. First of all, I want you to notice, let me call this some winning tactics, all right? I'll title the message Winning Tactics. For tonight. Notice number one, the way that we fight these battles is we must fight them through prayer. The Bible tells us in verse 1 and 2, "Be merciful unto me, O God." So what's he doing here? He's praying. He's calling out to God. "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me." And he goes on and he calls out to God in prayer. Now we need to understand something, that when we are in a battle, we need to do this when we're not in, the battle is not raging as tough, but we must pray our way through. And so we think about this in Acts chapter 12, when persecution came down on the church and they had killed James and Peter was in prison. The Bible tells us that the church went to God in prayer and God started moving, and they prayed and continued praying. And many times we give up way too soon. But victory came through prayer. We find that victory came in Acts chapter 1 through prayer. And we can find all through the book of Psalms. And as we think about the prayers of David, how victory was gained through prayer. And so many times we think of prayer as the last resort. We could have so much victory if we would just grab a hold of prayer as our first resort. If we get in the habit of prayer on a continual, regular basis, we'll not have to retrain ourselves every time the battle starts raging a little stronger and higher. And so we think about this. Look at verse number 2. I love what he says. He says, "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me." And notice how he calls out to God, "O thou most high." He reaches out to one who is much higher than he is. And they say about the eagles, how they get away from the trouble, they go high. And so as we think about the battles, you and I can't always get away from the troubles, but we can grab a hold of the one who's higher than the trouble, the one who walks on the water, and the one who can calm the storm. And so we must pray our way through. But notice number two, how are we gonna fight these battles and win these battles? Number two, we're going to have faith. Say that with me, faith. Say it with me now, faith. Look at verse 3. The Bible says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." We must trust God. God is greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And he is stronger and more powerful than the enemy that we have. And there's a lot of fearful things. Boy, there's things that I'm afraid of, and things that you're afraid of. And there's many things that come in our life that bring fear. But we cannot let the fears dictate. We've got to let the faith dictate. And so many times, I've heard it said, by my father-in-law, "You never undo in doubt what you did in faith." And so, and we've got to stand strong. God never makes mistakes, and we've got to stop letting our fears dictate what we do. We've got to let our faith dictate what we do. And when we think about the three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel, they stood for God, but they made this statement when they told the king that our God is able to deliver us, but if not, so they had a fear, but they did not operate by the fear; they operated by their faith. And so we think about this, we pray our way through, and we have faith. And many times when we are in the battle, that is when there is a lot of fear. Battles are scary. Battles are fearful. And so we think about this, we pray our way through, we have faith. Number three, I want you to notice what the Bible says. Look at verse 4. And we must praise, but it's interesting what the Bible tells us here, what we must praise. He says, "In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." The Bible tells us that we praise here, but we praise his word. Now, it's interesting that God, because other places in the book of Psalms, we find praising throughout the Bible, we praise His name and we praise God. But here God tells us that we are to praise His word. And God's teaching us something here about the power of the Bible in the battle. We know when Jesus allowed Himself to be tempted of the devil in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, and He used the word of God to defeat the devil. We have that same access. We think about this and we understand. And so we run to the Bible and we need to be living in the Bible on a daily basis. That has been so preached well this week. But we in the battle, we read the Bible. And then as we read the Bible, we watch the Bible work. And then as we watch the Bible work, then we're praising that word because we're seeing its power. Then if you read on, he mentions some of the same things again about trusting Him and not fearing what flesh can do unto me. And I think it's amazing because as we praise it, we continue to practice it. God gives us more faith as we practice it, and we have more fearlessness with more of God's word in our heart and life and watching it work. And so we think about this. The Bible has gotten so many people through so many battles. And I remember, of course, this church prayed for my wife so many times, and I'm so grateful for that. Thank you. But boy, there was some days and weeks that the only thing that got her through and got us through and got our family through and her battle that she had was just the words of God, and that was all that we had to lean on. And we think about that, and you've been there, and you understand that. But I'm just saying, because I don't know what kind of battle that we may be raging in tonight, but we pray our way through and we have faith and the Bible, and it works. And man, I tell you, look at verse number 5 and 6 as we think about how that how man can bring a lot of fear, and the more Bible that we're leaning on, the less fear that we have of man. Look what he says in verse 5 and 6. He says, every day they rest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Man can mess you up, but God can fix you up. Amen. We think about that. And so we turn to prayer and we turn to faith and we turn to praising His word. But we also need to rehearse some knowledge. Look at verse number 9. Look what the Bible tells us. He says, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. And so there's another reference of prayer. But watch this statement. This I know, for God is for me. We need to quit acting like God's against us all the time. But we get in a battle and we think about it, and Lord, I mean, why are you doing this to me? Boy, if you love me, why would you allow this to happen? And we charge God foolishly like He's against us. And we need to understand the Bible says God's for us, and we need to rehearse that knowledge. I mean, look up at verse number 8. Look what the Bible says. And I don't fully, completely understand the details of how this works, but thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? And so, God, we know that He recorded the tears of David in the book of Psalms, but God said He's so close to us that He catches our tears, and we're going to re-meet those one day in heaven somehow. And so we rehearse some knowledge and understanding that God is so close to us that He catches our tears. He's not our enemy. He is for us. But the devil likes to twist our thinking, doesn't he? Yeah. And so many people quit on God, and preachers go liberal and contemporary because they're mad at God because they're not getting the results maybe they desire to have, or we see a mom and dad and they quit church because they're mad at God because God didn't do for them what they thought God was going to do for them, or and we just scenario after scenario, and we charge God and we're angry at God and we treat Him like He was the enemy, and at the very what we're really doing is we do that to God. We're running slap into the arms of the enemy because he's twisting our thinking. God is for us. That's where faith comes in. We have to believe that He knows more than we know. And all we think about this, we know that great verse. We love it. We quote it all the time. Romans 8:28, and we know. We need to rehearse some knowledge. Amen. and we know. So we think about this, the battles that we're in, whether it's a personal battle, satanic battle, a fleshly battle, whether it's a battle with the world, battle with your lust, or a ministry battle, we approach it with prayer, we approach it with faith, we approach it with praise, we rehearse the knowledge, and we need to. I do see in the book of Psalms and throughout David's life, every once in a while he would ask God why, but he did it very carefully and very respectfully. We don't find him charging God foolishly. We got to be careful about that. And then this may seem kind of maybe a little elementary tonight, but we need to make sure of our own salvation. Well, so many people have found out that they needed to be born again in the middle of a battle, haven't they? Look at verse number 13. He cries out. He says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." I believe very candidly that God is here referring to the second death, no doubt. Other places he talks about physical death in the book of Psalms, but as you look at the contrast, he says, "Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Of course, we see in verse number 13 why God saved us. He didn't save us so we could continue in sin. He saved us so we could walk in the light of the Lord and in the fellowship of the Lord and the light of the living. And this whole concept of, now that I'm in grace, I can just do anything I want. I think God very clearly put it in the New Testament how we need to approach that. God forbid. But we think about this, we need to make sure of our salvation. I was talking with a 14-year-old boy last Saturday, and every town has the Laodicea church that's just booming with the thousands. We have ours in the Ocala, Dunellen area. About one out of every six homes, doors you knock on, oh, we go here, and you hear the name. And so I had went by to visit this young man's dad. The dad wasn't home, and very polite young man. We got to talking, and so I asked him about his soul's condition, and I said, "Do you know the Lord?" And he said, "Man, I've known him since I was born." And so we talked a little bit more about that, and found out he wasn't saved. And I just simply quoted John 3:16. I read it to him, and I said, "Now I know with you being in church," and let me back up. I left out a very important part of this story, and he's been going to this particular Laodicea Jamming for Jesus with the Bright Lights church and he's been going there all of his life. And this is what he told me when I quoted him John 3:16. "I have never heard that verse before." Well, I can tell you why. They're too busy jamming for Jesus with their bright lights instead of teaching the Word of God. Everybody's trying to run to that method thinking that's going to change the world. It didn't change this 14-year-old boy's life. So I had the privilege of leading him to Christ, and so a wonderful, wonderful thing. But the thing about it is, and man, our churches are full of people that are lost. No wonder they can't win the battle. They've never been born again yet. We need to make sure we're saved. Man, we make sure we're saved, and we rehearse the knowledge that we know, and we praise His Word, and we live by faith, and we pray our way through, and we go through these battles. And the thing about it is we're always going to be in the battle, fighting daily, but we just got to trust God. I'm not a big sports fan. But my sons have gotten me into watching basketball, so that's just about where my level of it stops. But I was reading an interesting story some of y'all will know this name when I talk about it, and I've heard of it before, but Larry Bird, very interesting story about him, because they were in one of their championships, and the score was tight, and there was a timeout, the clock was not much time left on it, and so they're there on the sidelines, and I believe the coach was Casey Jones, if I'm remembering the story right. Some of y'all affirming that, all right, but he comes up on the sidelines, and he said, look, he just interrupted the coach, and he said, "Look, just get the ball to me and get out of the way." Casey Jones looked at him and looked at everybody and said, "I'm the coach. You shut your mouth. I give the orders on this team." Then he looked at everybody, straightened up. He said, "Get the ball to Larry and get out of the way." Maybe we just need to get the ball to the Lord and get out of the way. Father, Lord, we ask you to bless. Bless the next.